The dogmatic rigidity that currently passes as Western values as they pertain to egalitarianism demands that all accept that all people are equal, or at least should be equal, no matter the currently accumulating science and heretical social science to the contrary. The cultural zeitgeist of the Western world patently rejects any notion of genetic difference and thus differences in aptitude, intelligence, abilities, and behavioral tendencies. For those drunk and those made drunk on this current fanatical ideological paradigm, the only differences between people are created by a deeply flawed and, of course, unequal society. To even question human differences is not only taboo, but can invite social, professional, and financial ruin. And it is this stigma to even study human differences that seems to be the biggest hurdle, as many instances, the findings of hard science utterly destroy the utopian, egalitarian fantasies promulgated as immutable by many in the social sciences, their advocates, as well as their violent ideological foot soldiers and enforcers of doctrine, those being groups such as the odious Antifa. So it is research that blows another devastating hole into the arguments of those that demand equality of outcome for people, as the study has shown that men and women with the genes for education, as it were, did better academically, and shockingly, the same genes also helped make someone upwardly socially mobile. Or in layman's terms, what science is saying about class is that we are not equal, and without some kind of eugenic intervention, we'll never be. And because for most, success as well as failure in this life is quite literally written in your DNA. And while we're uncovering suppressed truths in this video, let's talk health, specifically cocoa flavanols, which boost heart health and brain cell regeneration. It's backed by Harvard's Dr. David Lee, and it's not nonsense, it's real science, and shows that these compounds in cocoa are powerful, yet often overlooked. But let's let him explain it.
People. Well, clinical studies have been done with high flavanol cocoa to show that in like men who are in their 60s with heart disease, they could actually just have 2 cups of dark chocolate hot cocoa a day for a month. Yeah. And they doubled the amount of stem cells in your bloodstream, and their circulation improved measurably. And then what's even more important and impressive is that there was a study called the COSMOS study that was completed recently that showed that eating high flavanol cocoa decreases the risk of cardiovascular death.
Yeah.
Right, over a period
like
of
a statin.
Like a statin. Right. Exactly. Except made with by eating the same thing that you use to make chocolate.
That's incredible.
So we're not telling people to go out to have chocolate, which is a confection. It's got a lot of sugar and all kinds of other stuff in it.
Yeah.
But it's the stuff underneath it, the core of it.
That's right. Dark chocolate's flavanols are great, but lost when processed. Lucky you, Black Forest Supplements now has a high flavanol cocoa powder at only 20 calories and tastes awesome in things like coffee or shakes. It clears brain fog, ups your energy, and boosts stem cells. Hollywood elites, for their part, are dropping insane amounts of money for stem cell injections. Just look at the Golden Globes, where A-listers got $40,000 in stem cell facelifts in their gift bags. Remember, being your own man starts with strength and sharpness, and supplements like the new cocoa flavanols help you take charge. And I myself have felt the change. So here's the deal. I've got an exclusive offer with the guys at Black Forest Supplement that'll give you 40% off for the next 48 hours, but this stuff does sell out quickly. You've only got one you, so be the best you. So hit that link in the description or pinned comment to stock up while you can. Jordan Peterson, the constantly blubbering psychologist who enjoys an almost cult-like status among his sycophants, regardless of his proclamations outside of his own area of expertise, especially when making sweeping political statements, was recently on the Joe Rogan podcast, where he was agreeing with one Douglas Murray, who himself was recently on that same podcast. And he agreed that only experts should speak on areas in their particular field, and that people are just jealous of successful minorities. To his credit, He wasn't weeping uncontrollably and was speaking within his own soft science field, even if his conclusions were simply his own personal opinion. But he did pen an article way back in 2018 where he was clear of the genetic differences between human groups. In that, IQ is the most powerful single determinant of long-term socioeconomic success and influence, and the significantly higher than average IQ of Ashkenazi Jews as a group is what makes them a successful minority. And this is very interesting for many reasons, especially when said in 2025. A team of researchers from Duke University School of Medicine in Durham, North Carolina, undertook a genome-wide association study, or GWAS, on more than 20,000 individuals from Britain, New Zealand, and the United States, and they were followed from childhood into adulthood. Unsurprisingly, they found that men and women with genes for education, or high polygenic scores, did better academically. But the same genes also helped make someone more upwardly mobile. Those with high polygenic scores did better in terms of education, occupation, and wealth compared to their parents and siblings, regardless of the individual's familial social class as children. Among pairs of siblings, the brother or sister with the best score tended to be more successful. Or to put it more plainly, this study is laying out what has been clear to most until recent decades of cultural Marxist indoctrination, that people who do better in education, occupation, and wealth constitute a class, since these traits, along with behavior and cognition, are broadly considered to be mostly inherited, so too, by extension and definition, is social class inherited. While the fanatic left, most of whom slavishly espouse belief in science and evolutionary theory, so long as the evolution of humans stopped at the neck, are being shown yet again that it didn't. In fact, as we learn more and more, the genetic blueprint of humankind is continually showing that in fact, no, we are not the same. Higher class Japanese people, for example, having children will pass along inheritable traits in the same way lower class Romanians do the same and pass along their traits related to abilities and tendencies. To the consternation of the Marxist left, as well as those on the everyone can pull up themselves by their bootstraps right, evidence is mounting that much of who we are as individuals and broadly as groups is genetic and not accidental or the result of hard work. The slow unraveling of the modern and baseless superstition cherished and enshrined as canon in the Church of Equality is that there are no differences between people. We are all born identical and with the same potential. Inequality is a consequence of human societies that deploy resources in an unjust manner, and any noticeable difference between groups of people and even between individuals is not a matter of genetics, but are the results of institutional inequality. And even more so is that science is also beginning to shed light on the fact that genetics possibly determines culture to the point where genetics our culture, and it is big data showing us the first glimpses of culture and class as genetic impulses born in behavior. And what are the implications that, if true, class and intelligence are heritable, and its collision with the utopian ideology of egalitarianism that all humans are equal or have equal potential, and more so, that all human cultures are equal and compatible and interchangeable? Because it is those beliefs in this ideology that has led many nations in the West down the road of hell, which, yes, is always paved with good intentions. As Europe, which is ideologically drunk on utopian egalitarianism, rapidly imports millions upon millions of young men, the vast majority with little to no education, little to no ability to speak, read, or write destination countries' languages, and no marketable skills, and almost all without exception coming from majority low IQ countries statistically, well, what are the ramifications to societies that have little hope of integrating them into not only the job market or wider society, but let alone holding out the hope that they will save the social pension systems and welfare states of the continent. In places like the UK, Canada, and Australia, the governments brag openly about trying to import the high IQ doctors and other professionals, along with refugees and others, when in doing so strip mines the intelligent and upper classes of desperately poor, backward, and dysfunctional developing nations of the very people that would be needed to actually develop. And how does all of this play out? Well, we can already see the harvest of utopian dreams for the West that lie just over the multicultural rainbow, and it is only those that are hopelessly deluded by ideology that see the metastasizing neighborhoods like the Rosengard in Malmo, Molenbeek in Brussels, or Tower Hamlets in London as shining examples of tolerance, respect, and progress. What they are is an example of everything wrong with a society when immigration becomes colonization. And the main colonizing groups that are being imported and will statistically become a ready-made permanent underclass, well, they are now being pitted against the working classes, or chavs as they're unaffectionately known in the UK, which is creating even more problems. While of course there will be the odd individual that escapes these extraterritorial enclaves and no-go zones, the majority will not, and the festering anger and resentment toward the larger society will continue to create marginalized and rage-filled people that will not only continue to radicalize, but also continue to self-segregate. And these class resentments will not only be confined to the newcomers and native groups, but between the successful groups that are more able to adapt and thrive. And again, it would seem that the statistical class that newcomers will fall into is dependent upon where they came from and the average IQ of their homeland.
Police registered almost 200 muggings and attacks on the ethnic Chinese community of Aubervilliers last year. Many were reportedly committed by criminal gangs, often of North African origin. Some locals openly voice their prejudices.
That's the way it is. I don't like the Chinese. I don't know why, but I don't.
The Chinese have become too rich in France.
Too rich? And that's not fair.
Well, I think it's not fair. They're now in the category of people with nice clothes and big cars.
The 70,000-strong ethnic Chinese community in France has earned a reputation for being hardworking and discreet. The North African communities are considered to be less successful as a whole.
Something new is happening, and it's linked to a competitive ideology that's beginning to appear. The Chinese are considered to be a community where things go well, where people manage on their own and are quiet, compared to other immigrants who are much more demanding and consider themselves as victims and might consider this Chinese community as competition.
It's hardly surprising, then, that in our current time, mass cultural diversity has grown into an issue that divides us. The left wants more, they can't have enough, and now many on the right have woken to the unsettling realization that they are both the target of colonization, but also the source of funding for that colonization. Across the Western world, we are seeing rumblings that not all is well, and people are increasingly beginning to recognize that the Marxist ideology that has been the driving force behind not only the culture but the policy of the past half century is driving our collective civilization off a cliff. Science has shown what most reasonable people inherently understand. People behave remarkably similarly to others in their tribe, which is formed of an overlapping mosaic of religion, ethnicity, culture, and social class. Countries existed and were defended for centuries for a reason. Just because we want a thing, the total equality of humanity, to be true, does not make it so. Within every group, there are those that lead, those that can extrapolate, and those that need to be led. The ideology of total equality despises hierarchy, and no science, common sense, or personal experience will change those ideologues captivated by this modern religion of the far left. As people wake up to the colonizing nature of importing a new underclass that is taking place across the Western world today, and as personal experience, but also more and more science, which begins to break down the taboos of the radical left, the ghost of the illusion that we are all the same begins to fade away and is being replaced by a more interesting reality that we are all actually quite varied and different from one another. This is nothing to be scared of, but it will mean a reevaluation of those cherished ideals, those being radical egalitarianism and all that goes with it, including open borders, that do not and have never worked in practice. Movements across the West are beginning to assert what common sense has always told people. While everyone deserves respect, we are not all the same. And it might not be such a good idea shoving millions of different people with different cultures, different religions, but most importantly, different levels of average cognition, intelligence, and thereby class, into the same space and expecting nothing to go wrong, at least for the sake of everyone involved. So that's it. That's the end. Thanks very much for watching. If you liked the video, please give it a thumbs up on the way out and check to see that you're still subscribed. Also, remember to check out the sponsor of today's video, Black Forest Supplements, and their amazing cocoa flavanols. Links are in the description and the pinned comment. With that, I will see you in the next video. Bye for now.